It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, November 4th, 2019. We have 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds, 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20 knots, so windy on the beach today. Wind waves from the north, 3 feet at 5 seconds apart, and west swells, 3 feet at 12 seconds. And today we're going to talk ships and fuel and high-tech efforts to bring sailing back to cargo ships. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have a lot of inbounders. We have 12 of them. We have 4 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Grand Mercury. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the Port of Portland. She's a car carrier with brand-new Toyotas on board. She'll pass Astoria around 8:30 a.m., and arrive in Portland around 2:30 p.m. So if you see a very high-sided vessel, big and blocky-looking, going by Astoria in the morning, that's probably the Grand Mercury. The Equinox Agnandusa is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, opposite Tongue Point on the north side of the channel. She's going to be picking up weed eventually, but she's going to stop in the anchorage there, at the Rice Island Anchorage, at about 9:30 this morning. The Ivory Arrow is arriving from Richmond, headed for Portland. She's another car carrier. Honda's on this one, headed for the Port of Portland. She'll pass Astoria around 10:30 a.m. and arrive at the Port of Portland probably by 4:30 p.m. The Agios Sostis is arriving from China, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage. She'll ultimately go upriver to pick up wheat, but she will arrive in the Astoria Rice Island Anchorage at about 11:30 a.m. The Global Serenity is arriving from South Korea, headed for Portland. I think she might have cement on board, powdered cement, and she will pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m., arriving in Portland by about 7:30 in the evening. The Outrider is arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's another wheat ship. We have, as I've said before, we have a lot of those this time of year. She will arrive in the Astoria anchorage at about 1:30 p.m. The Santa Serena is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Longview to pick up logs. She'll pass Astoria around 8 p.m. and arrive in Longview probably about 11:30 p.m. Takes about 3.5 hours to get from opposite the waterfront in Astoria up to Longview. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about high-tech efforts to bring sailing back to cargo ships, so wind power back to cargo ships. And I'm not talking about canvas sails or anything like that. When we think of that, we think of maybe the days of sailing clipper ships, when those were the cargo ships that plied the waters of the world. They carried a huge amount of sail area to interact with the wind at sea, and they could sail 17 knots in a good wind. That's pretty good. That's comparable to what motorized ships do today. Cargo ships often have a top speed of about, the bigger ones, of about 30 knots, but they tend to go slower than that because they already use a lot of fuel. And in recent years, to cut costs, shippers have started to slow down their ships. Since the faster you go, the more wind and water resistance you encounter and the more fuel you use. Since cargo ships move through the water, they're pushing against the water, and they displace a volume of water equal to their own weight, so a lot of water to be dealt with there. So today I'm going to share with you an article from Maritime Executive magazine about a new kind of technology that actually draws some science from games like baseball and football, in which players put a spin on a ball to get it to go where they want. And these newfangled sort of sails are made of metal, and they work by spinning. So let's hear a little bit from that article. Wind propulsion company Norse Power announced this week that a trial of its advanced Flettner rotors aboard a product tanker produced exceptional results with an 8.2% reduction in fuel use from September 2018 to September 2019. The outcome falls neatly within the predicted 7 to 10% range of fuel consumption savings that the Norse Power company expected at the start of this trial. They were in partnership with Maersk, which is a big worldwide shipping company, and they installed two of these rotor sails, which look like kind of poles, tall cylinders sitting on the deck, aboard a tanker called the Maersk Pelican in August of 2018. And after 1 year in operation, the aggregated total fuel saved came to about 8.2%, equivalent to about 1,400 tons of CO2, carbon dioxide. Over the course of the test, the tanker operated in conditions ranging from tropical to Arctic conditions, voyaging between Europe, the Middle East, Asia, and Australia. Now, these Norse Power rotor sails, as they're called, are large cylindrical metal sails that spin to create a pressure differential called, using something called the Magnus effect, which we'll talk about in a minute. And that ends up propelling the vessel forward. When the wind conditions are right, the main engines can be throttled back, which saves fuel and reduces emissions while maintaining speed and voyage time. Based on simulations, Norse Power estimates that applying its rotor sail technology to the entire global tanker fleet would reduce CO2 emissions by more than 30 million metric tons. And so let's talk a little bit about what that means. You've heard me say before, if you have listened to the Ship Report for any time, that the ships are very, even though I love them, they're very polluting. And one estimate I read is that ships produce about 18% of air pollution worldwide. And here's another interesting quote from Oceana, which is a group of leading foundations that advocate for oceans. This is from their website. Here's the quote. If global shipping were a country, it would be the sixth largest producer of greenhouse gas emissions. Only the U.S., China, India, and Japan emit more CO2 than the world's shipping fleet. So this is a big deal, and it is a big deal that these companies are trying to address this. They're doing it to comply with standards, I believe, that will be imposed upon them in the coming years, but also they're trying to reduce their global emissions and also reduce the amount of fuel that they use, because fuel is one of the biggest expenses that a ship incurs in its life, fuel and people. So shipping companies are always trying to find ways to reduce that cost. Now, what about the Magnus effect? What is that? Well, here's a bit of an explanation. It's kind of complicated, and so I'm going to have to probably simplify quite a bit. But a rotor or Fletner ship, this is what these rotors are, on these ships, are designed to use the Magnus effect for propulsion. The Magnus effect is a force acting on a spinning body in a moving airstream, which acts perpendicular to both the direction of the airstream and to the rotor axis. A Magnus motor used to propel a ship is called a rotor sail and is mounted with its axis vertical. When the wind blows from the side, the Magnus effect creates a forward thrust. Thus, as with any sailing ship, a rotor ship can only move forwards when there is a wind blowing. Now, so when there is a wind blowing in the right direction, they can use it and they can scale back on using their engines, which they also have. Now, the wind does not power the rotor itself. It has to have its own power source. But this kind of, it's interesting, if you're a sailor, you know that boats that are powered by sail cannot sail directly into the wind. They have to sail off the wind a bit. And you're always trying to sail in certain circumstances when the wind is coming from a direction that you want to go as close to the wind as you can. But most sailboats really have to sail on an angle, and that's why you see sailboats tacking, kind of zigzagging their way upwind, as it's called. So this kind of a rotor deal here that is acting like a sail allows ships to sail closer to the wind than a conventional sail would allow. And so that allows the ship more flexibility to travel in different directions around the compass if it can go closer to that wind direction. So a very interesting development in technology, and we'll see where it goes if we start hearing more about more of these interesting revolving tall skinny cylinders on ships. It could mean a new advent of the world, or the age of sail, in a totally different kind of way. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.